The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you so much. The Palmores do a great job. Of course, Brother Palmore is our music director here, and his precious wife assists in a Sunday school class, and both of them now teaching in our Bible college, and just does a super job. By the way, I want to commend those of you that helped out with our bus ministry this morning. We had two buses that were down this morning, which was an unusual thing for us that was not able to run. And several of you heard about that, volunteered cars, and you went out and picked up people. And I want to thank you for going the extra mile. I appreciate the bus captains that are here this morning and the bus workers that sacrificed and did a great job this morning. And don't let that get you down. It'll be okay. And we'll work on those buses and we'll get those things, of course, up to where they ought to be. But I do want to commend you on doing a super job that you did this morning. And these things kind of course, we had to red tag two of them. We have regular bus inspections, and two of them were red tagged by our men as being things that just needed to care for that we felt like they ought not to run. And so it's not something that's going to be on a regular basis, but they did get red tagged. And we'd rather look at the safety of our children. I said we'd rather look at the safety of our children, and because we love children, okay? And so we don't want to put our children's lives in jeopardy at any time. And so take your Bible, go back to Hebrews chapter 5, if you will, look at verse 12. You need not to stand again, but I do want to emphasize some things in this particular verse as I speak on this morning, understanding and helping high-maintenance people. And now, I'm not degrading or I'm not attacking and I'm not shooting at you and I'm not shooting at me, because I'm going to tell you, this verse explains it within itself. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, for the time. Now, watch the terminology there. For when, for the time. Can I tell you, everybody in this room, you're going to go through highs and you're going to go through lows spiritually. There's going to be times when you come to church, you're so excited about church, you can taste the spirituality and the desire to grow as a Christian long before you ever step foot on property. You can taste it. I mean, you're so excited about coming to church. I mean, you just can't wait to hear the songs, and you can't wait to hear the teaching, and you can't wait to hear the preaching, and you just can't wait to be here. But that same type of person will also go through low times in their life. So there's people that understand what I'm saying, and please get the whole gist of the message as I lay the foundation. Please understand that if you're here this morning and you're going through a spiritual low, that does not necessarily mean you're a bad Christian. It might just mean that you're normal. It might just mean that you're normal. Everybody's going to go through highs. Everybody's going to go through lows. I've never met a Christian in all my days that lived on the mountaintop. I've never met one. I've never met one all my days that lived in the valley. I have met people that go through the valleys and the mountaintops and everything in the middle, all right? But I do believe that this message is going to help in two ways. Number one, it's going to help us to be able to help those that need help when those that need help need help. I will not repeat that. And then I believe this. I believe that this message will be a direct help to those that find their need to be that which is needing help. All right? And so here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches here in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12. The Bible says, for when, for the time. So that means that a person that might need help today might not need help tomorrow. That means that a person that can give help today might not be in the position spiritually of offering that type of help tomorrow. All right, so the Bible says, for when, it says, for the time ye ought to be teachers. It says you have need, it says, that one teach you again. Now, what does that mean? That means that they have been taught, so there was a time when they were teachers, because they had been taught and they had risen to a level of leadership or being teachers. But the Bible says, now that you have come, again, we've got to go back, he says, and again, which be the first principles and oracles of God. The Bible says, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Now, can I tell you that I don't always eat all day long for that which is my breakfast, my lunch, and my supper meat. Sometimes I will take lighter food. Matter of fact, here recently I've been taking more lighter food than heavier food. Okay? All right? And so there is times when a person will go through a change whereby they need to be able to have some milk to get strong enough to be able to take the meat. And there is going to be times when a person can have a diet on meat. But can I tell you, most of the time you're going to find out that Christians will go up and down. And I want to show you some things here that can be a help to you. So here we see that there is the blessing, I said the blessing, of being able to enjoy the support of other people that need support. There's the blessing of it. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of Bible this morning. You can kind of hold on. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, we then, it says, that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not, it says, to please ourselves. Okay? So God says there is a time for the strong to bear the infirmities or the weaknesses of somebody that is weak. There's a time to do that. And you don't do that to please yourself. You do that because you love somebody. You do that because you're trying to encourage somebody. You do that because somebody gets down. One day, somebody's walking along, and man, they're up here, they're excited, they're praising God, they're shouting amen, they're waving their Bible, they're shouting hallelujah, they got the big goober Christian smile on their face, they're walking in with their 20-pound Bible, they've got everything down pat, and the very next Sunday, all of a sudden, they got poochy lip disease, bottom lip sagging down between the two big toes, can't see which way to step, they're tripping over themselves. Now, wait a minute. What do you do? Well, one day they might be able to help you, but as a Christian brother in Christ, it might be your responsibility one day to help them. That is being a Christian. All right? Statement number next. Think about this. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, brethren, it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, and by the way, a spiritual person is the only one that qualifies to do this. You which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of the meekness. Doesn't say in the spirit of cockiness, arrogantness, proudness. It says in the spirit of meekness, it says considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So here's what happens. Here's a person that's spiritual. Here's another person that's overtaken in a... Come here, Brother Craig. Here's another person that's overtaken in a fault. So here we are walking together as Christian brothers. All right? One day, as we're walking along, he stumbles, begins to fall. Or what do I do? Well, if I didn't catch him when he fell, I'm supposed to try and help him back up. Okay? And then I walk beside him. Wait a minute. One day we're walking along. You ready? One day we're walking along. I stumble and I fall. He's better than me. He held me up. Okay? All right? Now, that's what Christianity is all about. By the way, are you listening to me? One day, all of a sudden, you're walking along. Thank you, be seated. One day, you're walking along, and you as the husband is the stronger one. Your wife has a moment of weakness. What's your responsibility? Help her up. Walk beside her. By the way, it might be the very next day that you're walking along and now all of a sudden you have a weak spot or a weak time in your life as the husband, and the wife is not supposed to say, yeah, big boy, good to see you fall. No, she's supposed to take and help you up. You see, that's what it's supposed to be in a church. Yeah, man. Don't think that you, please, a church ought not to be stuck on themselves. A church ought to be here to love people, help people, encourage people. There's no big shots at Parkside Baptist Church. I mean, all we are is sinners saved by grace. We're trying to do the best we can to love God, best we can to serve Jesus, best we can to preach the Bible, best we can to teach a Sunday school class, best we can to reach our area with the gospel, best we can to be able to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Hey, man, we're just trying to do our best. All right? So what happens now? What happens, though, is when a brother or sister begins to fall, the Bible says, brethren, it says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, don't laugh at them, don't curse them, don't kick them, don't make fun of them, don't Facebook about them, don't Instagram about them, don't text about them, don't write nasty notes about them. Hey, love them. Pray for them, encourage them. When you see them, pat them on the back. Thank God that they're here. Thank God they're trying. At least they're trying. You know how many Christians out there just give up, walk away, don't even try? Man, thank God somebody's trying. You say, well, they only come to church one time a month. Thank God for it. Well, I never see them except for on holidays. Thank God they love Jesus enough to come on holidays. Now, we pray and we want to encourage them to come all the time. I've said often, faith come by hearing. I said at my Sunday school class this morning, faith come by hearing, hear by the word of God. The more you come to church, the more it builds your faith. We're not in it for us. We're not in it to count heads. We're not in it to count numbers. We're in it to help you. And the more you come to church, the more you grow. The more you can have good Christian fellowship. The more you can be encouraged. The more you can be strengthened. The more you can be edified. The more you can obey God. The more you can please God. The more you get your prayers answered. The more that you grow in faith. The better example you are. There's some great benefits about being faithful to God. Over in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. The Bible says this, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So God said that this is a part of the law of Christ. In other words, he says this, this is what I expect you to do. I expect you to help people. Look down in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, and let every man, it says, prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing, watch what it says, in himself alone, it says, and not in another. All right? So you'll feel good when you help somebody. You'll go to bed at night and sleep better when you help somebody. When you help somebody bear a burden, you just feel good about it. See somebody that's down, see somebody that's discouraged, you walk beside them, hey, pat them on the back vocally or physically, you feel good about it. Okay, Galatians, if you will, chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, for every man shall bear his own burden. All right, now wait a minute. So I ought to strive in my life so that I am not somebody that's high maintenance to somebody else. I'm talking about I should in my personal life. You should in your personal life. That's not saying you're not going to hit the low times. We all do. But I ought to strive in my life to try to help as many people as I can and relying on the Lord, having him as my help, not to become somebody that always needs help from somebody else. Here's what the Bible teaches. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. The Bible says, so then everyone shall give, it says, account of himself to God. Now, why should I try to be not high in maintenance, but low in maintenance myself? Because after all, I want to please the Lord, and I want to try and help, and I am going to give an account to God one day. Wouldn't it be bad if you had a preacher who's always down? Wouldn't it be bad? If every time I get up to preach, I say, now look, let me tell you about my burdens this week, people. I need prayer. I really need you to help me. Man, I need your encouragement. I need your love. I need you to be right there beside me because after all, this week has been a bad week. You know, after a while, you kind of wonder, is he okay? So I need to rely on the Lord enough. And by the way, I want to be that type of person, and you ought to want to be that type of person whereby we understand that our strength, low temporal strength, comes from somebody walking beside us. Eternal, lasting strength comes from the Lord God. Here we go, ready? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. The Bible says, wherefore it says, lift up the hands which it says hang down. And it says the feeble knees. So God says, here's what I'm supposed to do. Here's what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to lift those up that have heavy hands, that's hanging down. And we're supposed to help those that have feeble knees. Look at verse 13. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, and to make straight the paths of your feet. It says, lest that which is lame is turned, it says, out of the way, and let rather it be healed. He says, so here's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to make sure my feet are straight so that they can provide the means to help somebody else that might be lame in feet, to help straighten their path so that they also themselves can be healed. Let me give you a couple of statements. Here we go. Statement number one, what is the definition of high maintenance? Well, you know, high maintenance in our society simply means this, and it's a common everyday usage of speech. It means this. It means that to require something extra in order to make it. Okay? They require a car. High maintenance car requires extra time, extra attention, extra money. You know, maybe to keep it running, a high maintenance person, if you will require extra time, extra energy, okay, because they need somebody that's going to believe in them and somebody that's going to try and help them and strengthen them, okay? How does that apply to us? Well, there is, and I'm going to show you in just a minute, there are those that are high maintenance Christians in your Bible. And there are those that are low-maintenance Christians. Let me show you a church that was high-maintenance. Take your Bible, if you will, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's a high-maintenance church. It was the church at Corinth. Here's what the Bible says about the church at Corinth, high-maintenance church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. The Bible says, even as babes in Christ. So why is it that Paul has to come to this church and speak to them as somebody that is not spiritual, but somebody that's operating in the realm of the flesh? He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for whereunto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. He says, for ye are yet carnal. It says, and whereas is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4 of the Bible says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and I am of of another, I am of Apollos. All right, he says this. He says, are you not carnal? He says, here's what you're doing. You're uplifting men and you're following men. And by the way, can I tell you, I thank God for men of God. I love men of God. I appreciate men of God. I want to help men of God. I want to encourage men of God. But you always ought to keep, listen to me now, men of God in the right perspective. Who do they serve? They serve God. Who are you supposed to serve? You're supposed to serve God. All right, wait a minute, watch this. And so he said, look, part of the problem is you got your eyes on a man. You know, you're saying, boy, I'm for that which is Paul. I'm for another. I'm for Apollos and stuff like that. Now, wait a minute. Here's a very carnal type of church. Here's a church that is very fleshly. Look down, if you will, 2 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 20. The Bible says in verse 20, he says, for I fear lest when I come, I should find, it says, you such as I would, that I should be found unto you such as ye would not, lest, it says, there be. Now watch what it talks about. Debates, envyings, wraths. Says strifes, backbiting, whispering. The Bible talks about the swelling, and it talks about the tumults, and it talks about all these things. And then he says in verse 21, he says, unless I come again, and he says, and my God shall humble me among you, and I shall bewail, it says, many of you that sinned already and have not repented, it says, of uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which ye have committed. He said, look, all these things are inside of you, and because of that you have need of meat. I want to give you meat, but I can't give you meat. I got to give you milk. And he said, the reason I got to give you milk is it's not just about, there's all sorts of problems that's in there. And can I tell you, many, many times there's all sorts of problems with a car that needs high maintenance. There's all sorts of problems with a person that needs high maintenance or a church. And in this case, this church had multiple problems. So the man of God comes and says, I want to help you. I'm trying to help you. Well, let me show you another church that did not need that type of help. Go to Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, and I think, He says, my God, upon every remembrance of you. Now, this is the same man of God. The same man of God went to the church at Corinth and said, I can't give you meat. I've got to give you milk because we've got to help, you know, we've got to help you with all these things. Okay? He said, so you really, you know, you're not even going to have time to chew the meat because, you know, you got all these other things going on in your life. So I've got to give you milk, something to give you a little bit of nutrition. All right, but then he goes to the church at Philippi. He says, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He says, always in every prayer, it says of mine, he says, for you making requests with joy. He said, man, every time I think about you, I thank God for you and you bring me joy. Thank God for you, bring me joy. Thank God for you, bring me joy. He says, for your fellowship, it says, in the gospel, it says, from the first day on to now, it says, being confident of this very thing, it says that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. There's no hang-ups. Will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, even as it is meet for me to think this, it says, of you all, because it says of you in my heart, insomuch that as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, it says, ye all are partakers of my grace. He said, man, we're together in this thing. So what's he saying? He's saying, okay, all right, come both of you guys. Here we go. Both of you guys. Hurry. Come on. Lord's coming. All right. And so here we go. Here we go. Right here. We're walking this way. Here we go. All right. So here's you as a Christian. You got two brothers walking beside you. All right. And this one's doing okay. This one starts to fall. Pick him up. And this one starts to fall. Pick him up. All right. And then we're in church. And all of a sudden, I start to fall. Pick him up. And then he starts to fall. Pick him up. He starts to fall. Pick him up. You say, that sounds like it's tiresome. Welcome to Christianity. So I wish we were all perfect people. No. So I'm looking for the perfect church. You join it, you ruined it. We're not, you know, I'm telling you, can I tell you this morning, the person sitting beside you is a sinner. So I dare you to talk about my wife that way. I wasn't talking about her. She told me about you. We're all sinners. So here's what happens. We see a teenager, and all of a sudden, I'm the teenager. We see the teenager. Teenager starts to fall. Youth director helps him up. Teenager starts to fall. Activity coordinator helps him up. All of a sudden, senior saint begins to fall. Somebody helps him up. All of a sudden, who are you? A young man married into church begins to fall. Help him up. Middle-aged man begins to fall. Help him up. Child begins to fall, help him up. Bible college professor begins to fall, you help him up. See, it doesn't matter who you are today. Hey, get off of this stuff about, man, I'm somebody. You know, I mean, look at me, I've got talent. Talented people fall. Look at me, I got money. Money people fall. Well, look at me, I got personality. Personality people fall. Well, what do you do? Love somebody. Help somebody. Get off your high horse. Love somebody. Help somebody not here in Sunday school. Take it upon yourself. Go after them. Help them. Love them. Tell them you miss them. Encourage them. Hey, somebody not making it to an evening service. Love them. Help them. Encourage them. Somebody just got saved. Not growing like they should. Help them. Love them. You're going to find all sorts. And by the way, our church ought not to desire to be like the church of Corinth. We ought to decide that we ought to be like the church at Philippi. Thank you. Be seated. Statement number one. And so the definition of high maintenance. Let me show you this and go on. There's the difficulty of high maintenance. You know, whenever there is high maintenance, okay, that means that there's probably some newborn Christians. We have our first grandson. First means others will come. First. The little Andrew, can I tell you? Now, he's a delight. He is. He's a delight. You can go, and he smiles. And what I love, like about it, we can spoil him, right, honey, and send him home. I love being a grandparent. And I wish I was a grandparent before I was a dad. But it don't work out that way. But I love it. You know, spoil the kid. Now what? Yeah, he's a joy to hold. You know, all of a sudden, a diaper needs changing. You say, what do you do with that? Hey, honey.
Amen.
Your grandson needs you. But I don't always want him to be a baby. One of the messages, Brother Lofton was one of my young people, and Melissa Lofton, his precious wife, and of course, Brother Craig was members of my church in Tennessee. Now they're here. And I preached a message. I don't know if you remember this one or not, but I preached a message one day, and not all the babies are in the nursery. Was you there that day? Mike, was you there? I had Kevin Kickline. Kevin Kickline was our music director. And so I like to illustrate stuff. I think it's fun. I mean, it brings things alive. I think it's fun. So I had him dressed up like a baby. So I'm preaching, I have him walk down the aisle. Now here's a guy weighing, I guess 240 pounds. Walking down the aisle with a big rattler and a calf bottle. He's rattling, he's walking, got this big old diaper. Now he had pants on, all that. Had a big diaper on. Had a calf bottle over here, big rattler. Honey, you remember that? Big rattler. Had him come up. I told Kevin, I said, well, what you do is I want you to sit right there. I'm going to preach a message. Not all the babies are in the nursery. It was a Sunday night message. Man, I was hot. It was going to be the best message all year. It was going to go down in the world's book of records somewhere. I mean, it's going to be that good. Had all planned out. Had most of it memorized, worked on it for weeks on end. Man, it was going to be one of those, you know, I mean, it was going to turn into a book somewhere. I was going to be that good. I had it all planned out. And so Kevin comes down the aisle, bottle, rattler, had a sheet that was his diaper around his pants. And of course, he had a tie on. You know, all babies should wear ties in the nursery. And so, not really. And so he's coming down the aisle. He's shaking the rattler, Brother Hooker, holding the bottle. Forget it. Everybody's staring at him. Didn't hear a word I said. I told him, I said, every time I give the cue, not all the babies are in the nursery. I said, I want you to rattle and suck. So he's up here. He had old toys. Had a little blanket up there, you know. I mean, I did it right, man. Learn from me. I did right. So I said, not all, and that was the cue. Not all the babies are in the nursery. So at that time, he's supposed to. Every time he did that, I lost everybody. I mean, they were laughing, they were cutting up. And so you said, what'd you do to that message? I cut it up. But wouldn't it be different? Now, we have a special needs ministry here. Can I tell you, Brother Brady, Marjorie, and all those, you know, that work back there do a fantastic job with our special needs ministry. And we understand they're special needs people, and we love them. They have church service right now back there for them. That's one of the 11 services being conducted right now. That is one of them, and we love them. But can I tell you that they have special needs because of things that have happened in their life? But that's not you. You were not born that way. So therefore, we ought not to act that way. Can I tell you, Brother Barker right now, all of a sudden puts his thumb in his mouth and starts sucking it. First off, Mrs. Barker's going to move to the other side of the building. But it's just not natural. It's not natural. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that a baby should grow up. Newborn babies. Now, by the way, they're high maintenance. We got that grandbaby. Isn't it true, Brother Miss Paul Davis? You know, he's high maintenance. Feed. Carry. I mean, carry. Never thought I'd be carrying a baby again. Put that baby in that that huge monstrosity that's called a baby, what's it called? Baby carrier. Never let it be said that we don't have smart staff here. Man, you're carrying that thing, you know, and you put the baby, you know, hey, I tell you what, maintenance. You feed him the bottle, then you got to burp him. And boy, does he burp like a Wells. Maintenance. Change the diaper. Maintenance. Now watch, I want to show you something. But eventually we hope he'll grow out of that. Right now he's got to have milk, stuff that's light, easy to digest. Later on we hope he'll grow out of that. So I'm saying a couple of statements here, okay? You know, where can it help? Well, newborn babes, they deserve the extra attention. Where were you? Missed you in Sunday school. Love you. Man, can I help you? Hey, can I come by? I see the, okay. You give that extra love, that extra attention. But eventually you would hope that they would grow so they could walk on their own. So they can make it on their own. So they would love Jesus enough that they make it by themselves. Okay, here we go. I've got to hurry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, now we exhort you, brethren. It says, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. All right, so what are we supposed to do? Those that are high maintenance, okay, a little bit feeble, you comfort them. A little bit weak, you support them. If they become unruly, you warn them. You show them patience, okay? Now, where can they hurt? Well, I'll show you where they can hurt. The Apostle Paul had to spend a lot of time with the church at Corinth when his desire, according to Romans chapter 15 and verse 20, is he wanted to preach the gospel where the gospel was not yet once preached. So he had to spend a lot of time trying to do a maintenance recovery program for someone or once that tied him down so much that he was not able to do what God effectively was trying to do through his life. Not only that, you'll see that the churches of Corinth, at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, they not only held him back, but there was also Titus that had to be involved. So sometimes it takes more than one person. Okay? Oh, wait a minute. So there's the definition of high maintenance. There's the difficulty of high maintenance. All right, here we go. Defeating high maintenance. I'm done. But how do you get over it? What do you do with this? I've got 3 minutes. We're going to go. Here we go. How do you defeat it? How do you get over it? Now, by the way, it's unfortunate for the Hebrew Christians that they were that way. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, and when for a time you ought to be teachers, you have need, it says, that one teach you again, it says, from the first principles and oracles of God, it says, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Verse 13, and every one, it says, that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, it says, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongeth unto him that are of a full age, even to those, it says, by reason of use, it says, of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. All right? So what happened to these Hebrew Christians, it was very unfortunate that they had to go backwards instead of going forward. But how can you help somebody? Well, the Apostle Paul said this, and I'm done. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, I have learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. How do you help them? You help them to see the goodness of God so they can be content. Well, you know, I don't like the way God made me. God doesn't make mistakes. You're not a mistake. God loves you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I wish my nose looked different. Thank God for your nose. I know some people that has leprosy and they have lost their nose. Over in Cambodia, you visit the leper camps, you'll find out there's people who have leprosy. They've lost different members of their person. They'd love to have a nose. You know, I just wish that I was smarter. Okay, you can work on that, but don't get upset with yourself if you never arrive at somebody else's level. Don't degrade yourself. It was Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, you can always hire brains. but you can't hire character.
Right.
So you work on your character. Here we go. Last scriptures and I'm done. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 said, blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, says the Father of mercies. It says the God of all comfort, who comforteth, the Bible says, us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the comfort wherein, it says, or wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So you never give up on somebody. Never. 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 Don't give up on your children. Well, I've told my children this 1,000 times. Okay, make it 1,001. Don't give up on them. Love them, encourage them, help them, set an example for them to follow. Eventually they'll catch on. Somebody said, well, preacher, doesn't it bother you that sometimes a child will come forward, want to get saved, come forward, want to get saved, come forward. No, it doesn't bother me. You say, well, when do you think they'll settle it? I said this often. When they understand it, they'll settle it. Just let them keep coming. Let them keep coming. Let them keep coming. Let them keep coming. See, learn to be patient with people where they are. And don't judge them. Don't do that. You be patient with them. You love them. You know where they are. Well, you know, so-and-so, every time you preach, they frown. They must not like your preaching. No, it's not that. Maybe they've got another burden you don't know about. Could be. Well, every time you tell a joke, they don't laugh. Because they're dumb jokes. You just laugh to humor me. But what do you do? You be patient with them. See, here's what I find out in fundamentalism. We're known for two things: soul winning, missions. But we can become so involved in soul winning and missions that we forget people need help, love, encouragement, patience. They need all those things. If you spend time working on you, then you can help somebody else better. Well, I tell you what, I was planning on coming to church today and I had it all worked out. When I got home, I was going to chew my husband out. I was going to chew my wife out. Now you're talking about patience and I got to put it off for a day. How about putting it off forever? How about working? Well, you know, my mom, she's just not perfect. Yeah, we know. You're a product. Be patient. Be patient. You know, I wish my wife would learn to cook. Keep buying her cookbooks. Maybe get in the kitchen with her one day and say, honey, hey, I got an idea. Let's have fun. Without burning the kitchen down. Let's see if we can cook this together. Then just to make sure it's okay, we'll invite the neighbors over to eat first. If we just understand this, that you got to take people where they are, I think we miss it. You've been saved for 30 years. Person comes to church, just got saved. They don't have the right language, talk, walk, dress, behave, whatever, and you're impatient with them. Why? Where were you 30 years ago? You know, elements of a good, solid, Bible-believing Baptist church is this: the diversity of people that you draw, diversity of backgrounds, stay with me now, and diversity of Christian growth. You know, we got people in here just got saved last week. You're here. Man, you're doing great. And we got people in here that's been saved for 40 years. We got people in here that helped Noah build the ark. Now, I'm saying this. You work with people. You just work with people. Find somebody, love them, encourage them, help them, strengthen them. Well, I just wish they'd be like me. Because of your attitude, nobody wants to be like you. We're all praying you get deodorant. Love people, encourage them. You'll find out you'll go to bed happy at night. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.